This is the Alien UFO Podcast, episode 176, and I'm your host, Simon Bowne. And you can enjoy the extended version of this episode ad-free, along with over 170 hours of extended episodes on Patreon. This week, I'm talking to Ray Hernandez about his book, A Greater Reality, One Man's Journey of Discovery, The Amazing Paranormal Experiences of Ray Hernandez. Ray was a master's candidate at Cornell University and was a PhD candidate at the University of California, where he was a recipient of the National Science Foundation PhD Fellowship. He previously worked as a professor for 6 years at the New School for Social Research and at the University of New York. He is currently the director of the Consciousness and Contact Research Institute, or CCRI, an academic research institute comprised of more than 25 PhD academics, medical doctors, and researchers whose mission is to explore a new paradigm that seeks to integrate the findings of consciousness research and the phenomenology of extraordinary experiences, what Ray coined in 2013 as the contact modalities. Hi, Ray. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity. I enjoyed our session last time. I received emails from individuals saying that they listened to the podcast and contacted me afterwards.
Oh, fantastic. This time, I wanted to talk to you about your book. It's called A Greater Reality, One Man's Journey of Discovery, The Amazing Paranormal Experiences of Ray Hernandez. The first thing I wanted to talk to you about was when your dog was healed. Can you tell us that story? What happened there?
Our dog became paralyzed the night before on a Saturday evening. She was 15 years old. She was a Jack Russell Terrier, very, very ill. And so my wife, who was born and raised in Mexico, hardcore Catholic, began praying all night for the healing of our dog. And she prayed to the Virgin Mary of Mexico. And so the next morning when we woke up at 6, the dog was still paralyzed. We both checked her out. So I went back to sleep. My wife carried her down the stairs to see if she can go to the bathroom. And then my wife immediately started screaming my name and for me to come down and screaming my name and for me to come down. So I thought she had seen a little mouse or something, and so I disregarded it. Then she then came upstairs and hauled me out of my bed, but she wouldn't tell me what it was. And then I went downstairs with her, and in the living room floor, she disappeared, and the dog right in front of me. And then immediately, my mind, my thought, my thinking was immediately overcome, like I was hypnotized. I didn't care that my wife disappeared, the dog disappeared, that she what had just happened. I immediately turned to the left, and there was what I now call an energy being. This was approximately 2.5 feet in width, about 1.5 feet in height, floating 4 feet off the ground. And it was pure energy. It wasn't physical. It was semi-transparent. You could see behind it. And multiple colors, numerous colors, just waving like a desert mirage. And so I did something that, I now understand what happened, but back then, I for months afterwards, I tried to find out why did I act that way. Well, what I did was I waved my hand at it, and I said, "For this, junk, for this nonsense, my wife woke me up." And I waved my hand at it, and I said, "I'm going back to sleep." And so I totally ignored what I was watching. I didn't totally ignore that my wife had disappeared and the dog had disappeared. And I walked up to the second floor and I was immediately put to sleep. And an hour later, when I woke up, I was now fully conscious. And I was like, oh my God. And I ran down the stairs. And then poof, my wife reappeared. She looks down at the floor. The dog is running around the living room. And she began shouting, hallelujah, hallelujah. The angels cured her. The angels cured her repeatedly. And just celebrating and picking up the dog and hugging her and kissing her and putting the dog down. The dog was running around the entire living room. So that's how my experiences and my wife's experiences first started with this appearance of this energy being in my living room.
Did your wife say what happened to her? Does she got any memories of it?
Well, I asked her, I said, look at the time. It's 7 o'clock. Where were you? She was, what do you mean, you know, where I was? I never went anywhere. I said, look, we woke up at 6 o'clock. Now it's 7 o'clock. We were down there in the living room maybe 5 minutes at most. Where were you all this time? And she had no explanation. She still insists to this day that the time, the clock, the wall clock was not correct. And so she had what is commonly called in the UFO field, missing time.
So what do you think that energy being was? Does your wife say it was religious? It was an angel or something?
Yes, from that very first day, she viewed that phenomenon and all of the other experiences she had as angelic. And initially, I totally dismissed it. But now, after you know many years of experiences and talking to other experiencers, I believe that what happened is that this is the mind of God. This is consciousness itself interacting with us. And it's the way to think about it, and this is also with this next story that I'm going to tell you about my first UFO that I called down. You bury your aunt Matilda a week ago. You attended her funeral, etc. So then, a week later, in your living room, you see the spirit of your Aunt Matilda in full physical form. You even smell her perfume. And she stays there maybe 30 seconds, you know, looking at you. She doesn't say anything, but just looking at you. So then she disappears, immediately disappears. So then, the question that I have, and this is for my next experience, you could apply that, okay? Was your Aunt Matilda real or not real? Was your Aunt Matilda physical or not physical? My response to that would be both. You are physically perceiving a physical object. And in my house, what I was seeing was this physical energy being, okay? But in fact, what this was it was a holographic projection into our five senses, okay? And in this case, it was pure visual, okay? And so this, the projector, you know, consciousness itself that's projecting that image to you and is able to heal and cure your dog. Okay, these are not physical intelligence like we perceive it to be, like a physical being. What I'm going to be talking about later on is that the UFOs that we see and the UFO-related physical beings that we're seeing are all consciousness-based projections that they materialize to, and you perceive it as a physical object. But in reality, it's not. It's something much, much more complex. But I didn't arrive at that conclusion at that point with that initial experience. I thought initially that this was all paranormal related. But then what happened, Simon, was that about 3 months later, the dog woke my wife up at 3:30 in the morning. My wife got up and said, okay, maybe she wants to go to the bathroom. Now, by then, our dog was like a puppy. She was still looked like what she looked before, but she was active like a very young puppy, running and jumping, very extremely healthy. And so my wife went outside with Nena. Nena means little girl in Spanish. And she heard us a very, very loud noise that supposedly could have woken up the entire neighborhood. But she said no lights turned on. And then when she looked up in the sky, there was a very large oblong physical object, commonly called a UFO. I have a better term. I call them CAP, or consciousness aerial phenomena. That object was seen by my wife for approximately 10 minutes or so, and then it disappeared right in front of her. And so that morning when I woke up, she said, "Oh, my angels came and visited me last night." And I said, "Yes, describe it for me." When she described it, I said, "What you saw was a UFO." She goes, "Oh, you know, you're an atheist. You wouldn't understand." So she always viewed her experiences from her Catholic upbringing. So to her, these were angelic beings. And from my perspective now, I think she was much closer to explaining it than I was, because these are angelic intelligences that are projecting themselves upon us.
So if we could get back to that analogy you have with the aunt in your room, and it's a consciousness projection, does that mean it's your consciousness, and that if someone else was in the room, they wouldn't see her?
Well, in a lot of the, I'm sort of jumping around here, but I've published three 800-page books that has chapters written by experiencers of the contact modalities. And the contact modalities are all the different ways that humans are piercing the veil of our physical reality and having contact with various forms of non-human intelligence. And the contact modalities are near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences, astral travel experiences, which are very, very different from out-of-body experiences, okay? Via UFOs, via hallucinogenic journeys, via remote viewing, via channeling, via seeing deceased people or communicating with deceased people, et cetera, et cetera. So these are the contact modalities, and I argue in all of my books that they need to be viewed and studied and researched as one integrated phenomenon under consciousness, instead of being viewed as separate and distinct phenomena. And we can, as we pursue our discussions, I can give you all the reasonings behind this, but just hold that premise. And then the ant, okay? I do not view it as a physical being that's coming down to interact with her. I view it as a holographic projection. And that term that I use, holographic projection, was also used by several of the pioneers in ufology, several of the fathers of ufology, J. Allen Hynek, which I'm sure you're familiar with that name. I consider the father of modern ufology, and Dr. Jacques Vallée as well, who's still alive. They have used that term, holographic projections. Two other major ufologists from the 60s, 70s, and 80s used that term. One was John Keel, and he is probably the first individual that I know of that said that UFOs are not physical, that they are actually a consciousness-based phenomenon. But that wasn't his term. He used, multidimensional paranormal phenomenon. But basically, it's that this intelligence is not a physical intelligence coming from a physical planet in a physical UFO craft, that these are multidimensional objects in multidimensional intelligence visiting us. And then the other one is Raymond Fowler. And I could go into those details later on, but Raymond has been in the field of ufology since the early 1960s. And he also held that same view. So here we have four of the pioneers of ufology that have had these radical views, but mainstream materialist ufology totally ignores it. Why? Because they're materialists. They don't believe in consciousness. They don't believe in the multiverse, okay? To them, it has to be via the five senses, okay? So, my goodness, Simon, I've been running around, and I think I did not address your question.
Yeah, it's that idea that if it was a projection of consciousness, was it your consciousness that was projecting the aunt?
Yes.
And if, would somebody else see it?
Well, in the field of ufology and also in the field of the paranormal, okay, when people see an object, there are many, many cases that a certain percent of the individuals that are there see it, and a certain percent do not see it, even though it's right in front of you, okay? Same thing with the UFO field, okay? There have been hundreds of documented cases of people viewing a UFO, and then their wife right next to them doesn't see it, okay? So these are projections that work with your individual consciousness. And in terms of why certain people and why not others, we only have hypotheses to present. But I believe that these are experiences for individuals meant to waken them up. That's why when many of these experiences, close-up experiences, with both, physical beings and with UFO objects, which I call CAPs, consciousness aerial phenomenon, they're meant for that particular individual. And as we can go on in our discussions, I can elaborate on these concepts that I have.
So if it's kind of your consciousness interacting with something else, is it that what you see is shaped by you? Because I talked to somebody who was having contact experiences, and one of the ETs kind of said to him, we don't have a physical body where we come from. What you see of us is imprinted by you upon us.
Oh, that's 100%. That's 100%. But it's not, I don't think it's 100% imprinted upon from your thoughts, okay? I think it's an interaction of both. Yossi Ronan is a friend of mine, and he wrote a chapter for volume 3 of our Greater Reality book series. And he states exactly that they are not physical, that they're actually multidimensional. And they project this physicality, which is not the only form that they project themselves to us. And but they present it in a way that we can associate with. For example, we associate, with the head, arms, legs, eyes, those types of things, versus a big, huge dragon that's appearing to us and communicating with us telepathically. We'd be more acceptable to have that type of form. But the form that they do appear to us when we did our Beyond UFOs academic research study, and I can talk about that a little bit later on, the number one type of quote-unquote being that people were interacting with, that they were seeing, was an energy being. That was at, I think it was 65%. Number two was a human-looking being. And number three was the small grays. But then it tapered off with other different types of forms of beings that people are seeing. But the top two were the energy being and the human-looking being. So those are very comfortable for you to view and to adopt and to associate with. The gray, only 10% of the people viewed their experiences with grays as negative. And this is about 1,350 people that had experiences with the short grays. With the human-looking being was actually much lower, like 5% viewed their experiences as negative. Same thing with the energy being. So I sort of ran around that question a little bit. Apologize.
So the beings that we're seeing and we're partially forming in some way with our consciousness, are we in some way the same as them?
In my opinion, again, everything is consciousness. We are consciousness. These beings are consciousness. Okay, the beings that we're associating with have, for lack of a better terminology, a consciousness, soul, or spirit. That means that after we physically die, we rejoin the mind of God. Okay, with these beings, when they reach their ends. Okay. We don't know anything about that or how long it might be, whatever. They rejoin the mind of God, you know, the source that created them, okay? And so this intelligence behind it all, I need to go into a little bit more in depth. So to answer your question, I believe that they also have, quote-unquote, souls or spirits. And that when they have reached their end point, they go back to the mind of God. So yes, we're very much like them because we are all consciousness.
And you use the word consciousness, but is that word exactly right? Is it a kind of placeholder for a concept that's something that's not quite consciousness?
The way I define consciousness is the entire system of how reality works. Okay, we would have to have numerous types of chats over many months to reach these complexities of these. I'm just using very brief, abstract depictions and discussions here and responses. But consciousness is the entire system. It's for example, let me give you an example, okay? We as humans, we perceive only via our five senses, okay? So if you could imagine like a Russian doll, okay? Russian doll, that's one doll fits inside another, okay? Inside the tiniest doll, that's our five senses. So we as humans only perceive the five senses and ESP. We have that ability. Edgar Mitchell always said that ESP was the sixth sense. Okay. And so when we die, our soul or our spirit continues. And that's been demonstrated via the near-death experience phenomena. There are thousands of documented cases by medical doctors, by PhD academic researchers regarding near-death experiences. And we don't need to go into those details of those unless you want to go there. But so our spirit then, let me continue. And then humans are having what is called out-of-body experiences. Out-of-body experiences where your soul, your spirit, what I prefer, your individuated unit of consciousness. And that's a term by Tom Campbell, the famous OBE researcher that worked with Robert Monroe. So your individuated unit of consciousness pierces the veil of this 4D physical reality. And 4D because it's the three planes of coordinate geometry. And the fourth one is space-time. Okay, developed by Einstein. So what we perceive as our physical reality is actually 4D reality. So when we have an out-of-body experience, our individuated unit of consciousness, remember that's another word for soul or spirit, okay, pops out of our body, and most of the individuals see their bodies sleeping underneath their bed, okay? You can go to your room next door to see how your daughter's doing. You can go across the street to see your mother. You avoid your mother-in-law's house, you know. So it's basically your spirit, your individuated unit of consciousness interacting with your physical reality. Same thing with remote viewing, okay? Your your consciousness, your soul or spirit pops out of your body and you're viewing your physical reality. Okay. And you can go to Mars with an out-of-body experience. You can go to the moon, but it's all physical, okay? And I call that plane, that dimensional plane, the 5D dimensional plane, okay? Now, the people that have astral travel experiences, and this is why I say that they're two different phenomena, because with an astral travel experience is that your individual unit of consciousness goes beyond the 5D reality where out-of-body experiences takes place. Okay. And then you go into these journeys of just, you know, of strangeness, because we don't really know how many multidimensional planes there are, different philosophies from different traditions, you know, Buddhist, Taoist, the Vedic traditions have their own hypotheses of how many dimensional planes there are. Okay. But we leave that 5D plane dimension of the out-of-body experience, and then we go into these really journeys where almost anything can take place. And in the majority of these astral travel experiences, individuals are having contact experiences with various forms of non-human intelligence, okay? Now, let's continue this analogy. If you go beyond the dimensional planes where astral travel experiences takes place, the analogy for that would be people have had near-death experiences, okay? Their individuated unit of consciousness continues into another level, the highest level, at least that we can perceive, which is the level of source. And that's where the near-death experience takes place. And there, people are shown, they're given a life review. They're shown all of the good and bad things they've done in their lives. And these life reviews are outside of space-time. My own father had one when he had a near-death experience, and he told me he was up there for 20 to 30 years. I said, what do you mean 20 to 30 years? And he says, that's how long it took God to show me all the good things I had done in my life and all the bad things he's done in his life. And he experienced each of these experiences both in his body and in the body of another person that he had affected. And you basically relive those experiences. And so he had so many of these experiences that it's, to him, it seemed that this was 20 or 30 years. And if you read NDE books, if you listen to NDE podcasts, and I have interviewed Raymond Moody several times. I have interviewed Dr. Jeffrey Long, was one of the co-editors of our book. And he's been researching, he's a medical oncologist, and he's been researching NDEs for more than 35 years. And so Kenneth Ring is a friend of mine, and I've had numerous discussions with him. And he was one of the pioneers of the very first NDE research studies done with Raymond Moody and Dr. Bruce Grayson, a professor at the University of Virginia School of Medicine. Kenneth Ring was a professor of psychology at the University of Connecticut. So these are the pioneers that I've spoken with, and I've read all their books, and I've had follow-up discussions with them. Now, just to backtrack somewhat with these people, all of them believe, number one, that consciousness is fundamental and not a physical reality. And number two, all of them believe that all of the what is commonly called the paranormal is actually one interrelated phenomenon under consciousness. Okay. So most of the major NDE, all of that I know of, the NDE researchers. So consciousness, to me, the definition of that is the whole hierarchy that I just described, and the system of how it works. So we're barely at trying, at the very beginnings of trying to understand this complex phenomena, especially regarding reincarnation. We know that many of people who've had near-death experiences have were told and have received information about reincarnation. Some of them during their NDEs were shown their past lives. Same thing with UFO contact experiencers. Many of these individuals have received information about their past lives and their future lives, which are not really past. That's just a misnomer because time doesn't have doesn't exist. And so to me, that whole cycle is consciousness. And as I said before, we're just in the very beginnings of trying to understand this, the complexities of it.
So earlier, I think you mentioned that you called down a UFO and that maybe you've done that many times, but what happened the first time you did it?
Oh, that was a mind-blowing experience. And I think let's spend a little bit of time in this because there are many lessons to be learned from that very first experience of many. With that initial experience occurred in August, mid-August of 2012. So this is still the same year that my dog was healed by that energy beam. That occurred in March of 2012. So this is literally probably 6 months later as a foundational piece. After my wife saw that UFO outside of our house, okay, the consciousness aerial phenomena, she began to go outside and pray. And what would show up? These huge objects, usually physical objects. And then one evening, I had a friend of mine who I was waiting for him to give me some legal papers. He said, I'm very close by, but I don't have a lot of time. And I said, okay, I'll wait for you outside. You just give me the papers and you go on your way. So I'm waiting for this man, you know, for 10 minutes, and he still doesn't show up. And so I remembered this man named Prophet Yahweh, who I saw videos of him on YouTube, and he would be calling down UFOs. He would speak Hebrew, of all things. in the middle of the day, and this orb, dark orb, would appear very, very far away, but he was able to capture it on his camcorder. So the one I saw was a similar object that was recorded by an NBC camera crew. This is a major news outlet in the United States. And so I said, if my wife can do it, and this guy, Prophet Yahweh, can do it, let me give it a try, right? Because I'm killing time waiting for my friend to come. I wasn't serious. And then I began to get more serious about it because I began to think about our dog, who was it was not our pet, it was like a family member. And I became very emotional about it. And I became much more loving, wanting to thank them for this healing, right? Because at that point, I thought that this is UFO related. And so after about 15 minutes, in my mind, I thought that I need to stop this because I'm going crazy with this UFO stuff. All day I'm spending watching, you know, UFO-related videos. I had bought all these UFO-related books. And then when I had that thought, I need to stop this because I'm going crazy, boom, I looked up, and there was a huge object very close to the ground. But it was like football fields, let me describe it, like 6 football fields in length. A football field in height. And the bottom of this was these palm trees that I have in my next door neighbor's house were blocking the bottom of this object. So it was very, very close to the ground. I could have gotten a rock and hit it. But it wasn't physical. It was comprised of hundreds of oblong streaks of light. Hundreds of them. And inside was all this white energy floating around. And it was transparent. You could see the clouds behind it. And then I heard a voice. And it was my daughter's voice. Mind you, my daughter was not next to me. And my daughter's voice said, Daddy, you and Mommy have seen UFOs. Next time you see one, Daddy, call me. Don't forget. I want to see one. So when I heard that, I turned around because I thought that my daughter was right next to me, but she wasn't. I later on realized that this was my very first telepathic communication, except this was very, very different than other ones I have gotten. This was a projection of my daughter's historical voice patterns, I never said anything about UFOs to my daughter. My wife neither, okay? So my daughter didn't know anything about UFOs. But yet in my mind, I heard my daughter's voice saying this. What I figured out much later on was that this intelligence, whatever this intelligence is, which I call the mind of God, is able to splice up the history of your daughter's voices. Let's say, for example, coming from the Akashic records of stored memories, and then re-edit them again, like a video editor, a voice editor, and put it in my mind like my daughter's talking to me, okay? So, but at that point, I didn't realize that. I just thought that my daughter wants to see a UFO. So I run to the window, I'm yelling at her to come outside, a UFO is outside. She runs out there, and then it was just my daughter and I. She said, "Daddy, what is that?" I said, "Sweetheart, I think it's a UFO, but it's in hiding because it wasn't fully revealed. It wasn't physical. But now I have a totally different view of that." But that was just initially when I was a physicalist. And so she and I are watching it. And then my friend with his wife and their 17-year-old daughter come by the house. And they leave the car right in the middle of the cul-de-sac. And they run to us. And, "Ray, what is that? What is that? What is that?" I said, "You know what it is." And they said, "No, it can't be. It can't be. It can't be." So then we began to try to explain it away for like 2 minutes. And then at the very end, I didn't tell them that I had called it down, because that would have been too much for them to handle it, to handle that situation. And so I began to laugh out loud. And then with my mind, and again, I don't know why I did it, but it was very, very natural. With my mind, I reached out to this intelligence, just like when I called them down, this intelligence. With my mind, I said, "You better come up with some better bullshit than this, because my friends don't believe you." Now, instantaneously, what I just described to you, these thousands of oblong streaks of light that were like 600 meters going backwards and 100 meters up going up, that were very, very low to the ground, like about a meter on top of my next door neighbor's house was the bottom part of this, of these light streaks. What I just described to you immediately was deleted and replaced by a totally new object. Okay. And we all saw it. All of us. My daughter, myself, my friend, his wife, and their 17-year-old daughter. What we now saw was approximately 50 orbs that were the size of a Volkswagen Beetle. And they were not, you know, far away in the sky. No, they basically were inside where that initial object that we were watching. And these orbs of lights began blinking on and off, on and off, on and off, on and off, all of them simultaneously, on and off, on and off, on and off. And they would take turns powering up, getting to be very, very large orbs, and then shrinking to the normal size. And then another one would power up very, very large, then shrinking to the normal size. Okay. Now, let me explain to you what I learned from that particular experience. This is where my first idea of a holographic projection came into being, okay? Not at that time. No, at that time, you're just dealing with that experience, but upon reflection of the experience. Here I was with my mind telling this intelligence behind what we were watching, "You better come up with some better bullshit than this, because my friends don't believe you." Immediately, what I was watching was totally deleted and replaced by a totally new object instantaneously. Okay. Now, I define what happened there as a holographic projection. What we were initially watching Okay. The only people that were able to perceive it were the people that I described earlier. Okay. It was so large that it went over a six-lane highway, the rear of it, which was like three blocks away from our house. This is still quite early. This is 10 o'clock at night and still tons of traffic. Miami, there's lots of traffic. So you had hundreds of people that have seen that. So then I looked at the newspapers. I even called the police station later on. Okay, were there any reports of people calling in? Okay, no one. Any lights go on for all the houses? No lights went on. So it appeared to be like we were the only one that was watching this object. Okay, so why were we allowed to watch it, but no one else was able to view it? And this was instantaneously replaced by a totally new object. To me, that's the little literal definition of a holographic projection. It's an image that you are seeing, that you are perceiving as seeing with your eyes. But yet it's not real because it's projected into your consciousness. Okay? So let me continue with that story. Immediately, 5 minutes after that, my friends leave. They said they're very busy. They have businesses to run. And they leave. And I didn't even question it. What are you, crazy? You're leaving now? This is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. When are you ever going to see something like this again? No. I didn't question them, and they had to leave immediately. Also, our next-door neighbor that was right underneath where that object appeared, okay, he appeared at the window, and he saw five people staring at the top of his roof. Did he come outside to say, Ray, what the hell are you guys looking at, you know? No, I didn't do that. He didn't do that. I didn't knock on his door. Pablo, come outside. There's this huge object on top of your house. No, I didn't do that. Okay. So that's not logical. Also, my friends leave and it's just my daughter and I. We were watching this object. Then about 10 minutes, 10 minutes after my friends leave, then I felt like I was being attacked by hundreds of mosquitoes. I was wearing shorts, a short sleeve T-shirt, and I was slapping my arms, slapping my legs. And so I grabbed, after about a minute of this torture, I grabbed my daughter and I go inside. I said, come on, Scarlett, let's go. These mosquitoes are killing me. So we go inside the house and my wife is right at the front door. The front door is wide open and the dog, which is the Jack Russell Terrier now, which normally barks and whenever she hears anyone outside, very, very quiet, just sitting in the front door. So I'm telling my ex-wife what had just taken place. And I told them we had to go inside because these hundreds of mosquitoes were attacking me. So then my daughter looks up, turns around, looks up at me and says, Daddy, there were no mosquitoes outside. And when she said that, it was like the hypnotist snapped his fingers three times, okay, and said, wake up. And all of a sudden, I woke up from that trance. I was in some type of hypnotic trance, just like I was inside my living room, okay? And so I realized what had just happened. So I ran downstairs. I grabbed my camcorder, my professional camera, and I ran outside, but nothing was there. The object that we were watching was gone. Now, what have we learned about that? That particular experience. Well, besides the other comments that I made before, one was that this object that we were watching, this intelligence, has the ability to control your consciousness, to influence it, to manipulate it. Okay, because I realized some of the experiences that we were watching from a rational perspective. The rest of it, there was a little rationality behind it, just like in my living room when I waved my hand at it. And I said, this is bullshit. I'm going back to sleep. I didn't care that my wife had disappeared. That's not normal. That's not rational. Okay. And me, I have a whole bunch of academic degrees. I went to Cornell for a master's degree. I went to Berkeley for a PhD. I then became an attorney. And so that's not how a rational person would react. So I learned that whatever this intelligence is, is it has the ability to control and to influence your mind. Secondly, with the mosquitoes, I didn't physically see the mosquitoes attacking me. I just felt it on my skin that they were biting me. And it was like at the end, it was like torture. There was so many of them that were biting me. And I just couldn't take it anymore. So this has this intelligence has the ability to project not only visual sensations, but also sensations on your body, like you were bitten by mosquitoes. If there were so many mosquitoes, why wouldn't they bite my daughter as well? Okay. So she didn't feel any bites and she didn't see any mosquitoes. Okay. So again, about these holographic projections, it's not only physical, but it's your other senses as well. So after that experience, I didn't really put all the pieces together. It was only as time went on, slowly I began to put all these pieces together. Now, this concept of a holographic projection, let me add to that a little bit, okay? Jacques Vallée uses that term, as I said before, and John Keel and Raymond Fowler have used these terms in their books as well. I didn't know that at the time. It was only many years later. But I spoke with a friend of mine who's a retired medical doctor, Dr. Joseph Brooks. He's been calling down UFOs since the early 90s. And he invented a term for this called HICE, Human Initiated Contact Experiences. And so we started talking. He's one of the co-editors of our Greater Reality book series, the six volumes of our Greater Reality book series. And we began to share our stories. And I told him what happened and that my hypothesis is that this is a holographic projection. So he also shared an experience of his where he also reached the conclusion that UFOs, the UFO phenomenon, is a holographic projection. And the story that he told me was, this is in the 1990s. He was on a six-lane highway in California. And so he was going, you know, less than the speed limit, let's say 70 miles an hour, which was the speed limit. Sorry about that. So he looked right above, and there was a wooden World War I airplane. It was painted fire engine red. It had golden streaks of like this bolt of energy on the rear of it. It had these little itty bitty wings that were like 5 feet long on each side. That was like less than 2 meters. And he looked up and it didn't have a pilot. It was empty. And it was going too slow in order for this to actually fly. And it was steady right above him, right in front of him, so he could see it. And at going, you know, 70 miles an hour. So he said, Ray, this was impossible. You need a pilot to fly a plane. The wings were too short in order for it to actually fly. Okay. It was this old World War I plane with only one level of wings, had nothing else. And it was paralleling him at the same speed. And he clearly, it was very low to the ground, clearly able to see that it didn't have a pilot. So what he concluded, that this was a holographic projection, just like I concluded. And I was able to research a lot of these types of cases of these holographic projections. So I asked him to write a paper, and he wrote a paper which is in volume 3, which is the best volume of our experience-related chapters. Let me backtrack a little bit. The A Greater Reality book series is going to have 6 volumes. The first 2 volumes are theoretical in nature, okay? And I hope, I think I sent you a PDF copy of that, Simon. And it has really some heavyweights in the field of the paranormal and in the field of consciousness studies, near-death experiences. We have like 5 articles on near-death experiences, all written by the heavyweights, including Dr. Edmund Alexander, a professor of neurosurgery at the Harvard Medical School. He had a major NDE. We have an article by Raymond Moody, Dr. Bruce Grayson, one article that was a runner-up award to the Bob Bigelow Survival of Death essay contest. And she's a professor of philosophy. We also have 13 articles in the field of ufology. And these 13 articles were all written, the mass majority, I think 10 of them, by either PhD academics, and the others were by major researchers of the UFO phenomena. And so it discusses all of the contact modalities that I explained earlier, near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences, astral travel experiences, hallucinogenic journeys, channeling, communication with the deceased, et cetera, et cetera. So in his article, he presented his theory that we're living in a virtual reality. What I added with my theories was that it's not only a virtual reality, but it's also a spiritual reality. And I presented that in my book, The Mind of God. The Mind of God. A theory of a virtual and spiritual reality model of consciousness and the contact modalities. So this is a very short book. It's 200 pages. I wrote it in very simple languages. No, you know, very little footnotes. It's not an academic book, but it's presented to, it's intended for the lay person out there, my theory of consciousness. And it's a very simplistic view. Later on, I really want to get into an expanded academic version of that, which will be, you know, like 500 pages. Expanding that thesis. So now, reverting back to the initial experiences of the UFO that I saw, this is what I now, the lessons that I now learned from that initial experiences. And to summarize it, and that is that there is mind control taking place, okay? That you with your mind can call down a UFO, not just anyone. And I can go into that later on, that what we're watching are holographic projections, okay? In not only what you're seeing, but also in your other senses, okay? And that this intelligence has the ability to tap into, you know, for lack of better words, the Akashic records of communication, is able to splice up all that information and to download it into your mind, okay? And that when I told them, look, you better come up with some better bullshit than this, there's a response to your telepathic communications. Like they have tapped into your consciousness and are responding to your consciousness. And so just from this one experience, this is what I learned.
Well, I wanted to ask you about something else in your book. There's a lady you refer to, Teresa, and also your ex-wife, and they had visitation experiences.
Yes, yes. That's fascinating. Here I was with my wife, and she hardly ever told me any of her previous experiences. She never told me any of her previous experiences. So we went on vacation to New York, and a friend of ours that my wife used to live with, her name is Teresa. She is a teacher, science and chemistry teacher in the city of New York. And so she said, look, I'm going to go to Mexico for 2 weeks. Would you like to take over, you know, my house for the week that you're staying here? And I said, sure, that's wonderful. You know, it's a private house. And so I told my ex-wife, I said, should we tell her about what's happening to us? And she said, sure, you know, because she was a close friend. So we told her about our experiences. And then Teresa started telling us about her experiences. And one was that she used to play with these beings, which are commonly called grays, throughout all of her childhood. As soon as she can, you know, remember to like the preteen years. And then she also described an experience after her preteens. And that was she was studying for her final exams. I think it was in her senior year of college. And she was a biochemistry major. So, you know, she had a rigorous path. And so she said that the same five grays that used to play with her appeared to her. And she immediately recognized them. They laughed, they played, and they even danced Ring Around the Rosie, the Spanish version of it. And that's what they used to do when she was young with these gray beans, small gray beans. And I asked her, I said, were you scared of them? She said, no, those are my friends. And I said, well, what happened to him? Oh, we would play. And they would teach me things. And how long did it last? All of my early childhood. And then she also described, because they both lived in the same state of Mexico, the state of Veracruz. And then her parents and where she grew up was about maybe 2 hours north where, about four, 3 to 4 hours north of where my wife grew up. Now, they don't have any major highways there in that route that I'm talking about. So I guess if you built a modern freeway, you can get there in 2.5 hours. But it's quite a lengthy trip. And so she talked about an experience when she was in the university as well, that she saw these two beings that were dressed in a white monk's robe. That floated. They didn't walk. They floated near her, and then they turned the corner of a building. And so this is an old town, Orizaba, and she was in that older area of the city. And so they made that turn. And so my wife said she saw the same thing in Mexico. These two robe beings that floated right in front of her and then disappeared. And so my wife didn't then respond by talking about her personal experience when she was a small child. That came about later, okay? Out of the blue, okay, my wife told me that she used to play with small beings. And I said, was it the type of beings that Teresa had played with the big head and the round eyes? And she said, and the skinny arms and the sort of thing like the typical small gray. She said, no, these were little people. Okay. They were humans just like you and I, except they were little. I said, well, how tall is little? She said, they were very short. They were like 2 feet tall. And so she never told me about this. And I said, were you ever scared by them? No, I used to play with them. And so I felt lonely when they weren't there. And so here is my wife and our friend telling us the same thing, but my wife would never tell me. She never told me that until years later about her personal experiences. So it leads me to a hypothesis maybe that she had a special relationship with this intelligence, with the mind of God, that when she started to pray for the healing of our dog, somehow this intelligence listened to it, to her prayers, and responded because our dog was like I said, like a family member. So that's the story of my ex-wife and Teresa and the little people.
Well, it's been great talking to you. This book, A Greater Reality, One Man's Journey of Discovery, The Amazing Paranormal Experiences of Ray Hernandez. And people can get that on Amazon. And can you give us your website address?
Yes, please go to our website. We have lots of free books and materials and articles. We have volume 1 and volume 2 of the Greater Reality book series available for free. And our website is agreaterreality.com. reality.com.
Well, it's been great talking to you. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for the invitation, Simon.
And that was an interview with Ray Hernandez about his book, A Greater Reality, One Man's Journey of Discovery, The Amazing Paranormal Experiences of Ray Hernandez. A great way to support the podcast is to sign up to Patreon, where you can get exclusive access to the extended version of this episode. Just go to patreon.com/alienufopodcast. When you sign up, you get access to the episodes in the back catalogue, and they are ad-free and are released 2 days before the free versions. And if you want to try out the extended episodes, you can now get a 7-day free trial. And please check out my new book. It's called Verified Near-Death Experiences, and you can get it on Amazon. My website is pastliveshypnosis.co.uk, and the link is in the show notes. And if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.